Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island, pairing beer and music since 1988. Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago, Illinois. Listen critically, enjoy responsibly.
You're listening to Sound Opinions, and later in the show, we will review the new album by Jamila Woods, a brilliant young artist, activist, poet, rapper, musician from this vibrant Chicago scene, Greg. But first, we have an interview and a performance from Sharon Van Etten.
Closing your eyes when you're reaching with hands. Falling down flat when you don't understand who I am.
Songwriter Sharon Van Etten's been a favorite of ours for a long time, Jim. We had her in the show in 2012. After her third album, Tramp, came out, a brilliant record. 2 years later, she released her fourth album, Are We There, which we both loved. She seemed to be on a career ascent, nothing stopping her, except herself. She went on hiatus for 5 years. She took a break from the music industry, did a bunch of other stuff. In January, she broke her silence with Remind Me Tomorrow, a masterpiece of a record, more keyboard-heavy than anything she'd done previously, a new sound, a new approach, and a fresh set of songs describing where her life is at right now. We recently had Sharon and her band perform for us and some loyal listeners at Talia Hall here in Chicago.
Even though Sharon wasn't making a lot of music over the last 5 years, we had a lot to talk about, because she sure has been busy. She enrolled in school to become a certified therapist, started acting in the Netflix show The OA, and she gave birth to her first child. As we began our interview, she explained that taking a step back from music was not an accident.
Reliving all these songs that were about unhealthy relationships and having a broken heart and finding the support around me to move on, I realized it, instead of taking the time to make another record and go on another tour and relive all those experiences, I should just take what I have learned and live for a minute so I have something more positive to write about. But,
and I find this so inspiring. So with your degree now, are you like a therapist? Are you able to do therapy? Because I have this problem.
Well, I'll be honest. I'm a long way from getting my degree.
Okay.
I never got my undergrad, so I'm only a sophomore right now. And with all the other things going on in my life, I can only go part-time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm giving myself to the age of 50 to get certified. I feel like by then, too, I'll have enough life experience to feel like I have something to offer.
So you had just come off a record, Are We There, in 2014?
Even when the sun comes up, I'm in trouble.
You were on the slow build. I mean, you were constantly selling more records and you're playing festivals, and your career was on the ascent. There had to be somebody telling you, Sharon, this is the worst idea to go back and study therapy in the middle of this career that a lot of artists would love to be in the middle of, and you were ready to walk away from it. I mean, there had to be somebody that wanted to talk you out of it, right?
I actually feel very lucky because everyone was so supportive, and I feel that I have built an amazing group of people around me that don't want to take advantage of my success, and they really just want me to be fulfilled as a person, because I think I'll thrive more as an artist if I'm rested and if I'm happy, and that nobody wants to exploit my depression or my bad luck. They want me to express myself in the way that I want to express myself. People just want to see me happy, and I think most of my fans feel that way too.
Mm-hmm. I think people, it's been a 5-year break. I mean, Remind Me Tomorrow just came out. So this, you know, 5-year gap between, and obviously there was touring in between there, and you did shows last year as well. People have this impression like you just sort of drop off the planet and you're doing nothing. You're sitting at home on the couch watching Netflix.
She was on Netflix.
Yes, the point. You were really busy. It sounds like you threw yourself into a bunch of other stuff because you can't not stay busy in some way, it sounded like.
Well, I feel as soon as I decided to be off the road and open up the idea of, okay, so how can I be creative and home? As soon as I became available, other opportunities presented themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if I was on tour, I would have had to say no to all of it. And I think you make small decisions like that that open you up to those experiences, then more off-center opportunities present, where they presented themselves to me, and I feel very lucky. I know they're unique experiences, but if I had been on the road and kept doing what I had been doing, they wouldn't have arrived.
Did you feel like, you know, like acting, something like that, was that something that you would ever aspire to, and how did it go when you were able to actually do it?
I was in musicals in high school, I think.
Where it all starts.
Sorry, now which one? You
I
can't just drop
self-admittedly
that.
Not cool ever. But I was in Camelot. Uh-huh. I was the girl in the green dress that didn't say anything, and I just sang in choir. And I was in Hello, Dolly, which I hated. I hated that play.
So you'd done, you know, the usual high school acting, right? I mean, because the OA is a really cool show.
Yeah.
How does that happen? They come to you and say, we need an idiosyncratic, wonderful, brilliant musician because there's not enough actresses? I mean, how does that happen?
Honestly, you know, I had no aspirations to act outside of high school. And I found out that the casting director that had asked me to audition for the show had been at the Nick Cave show when I was supporting him in 2013. It wasn't until 2 years later that he asked me to audition. It was an honor. And the role, the backstory of Rachel in the OA is that she grew up in choir, moved away from home, went to move to pursue music, and on the way, something terrible happened, and singing became her superpower.
I used to sing in church choir. I was pretty good. People telling me I should make a go of it, so I took my little brother and we snuck off.
And I connected, not overly literally, but enough where I felt like there were parts of my real life that I could actually draw from real experiences. Mm. And I'm still pretending mm-hmm. that I know what I'm doing, but they keep letting me do it, so.
Here's Sharon Van Etten with her band performing No One Is Easy to Love, live at Talia Hall on Sound Opinions.
Thank you.
That's Sharon Van Etten performing No One Is Easy to Love at Talia Hall in Chicago.
Having a family, too, it sounded like that really inspired a lot of the music on this record. You know, singing about positive stuff, it sounded like, more so. Although there's still the darkness, obviously. Can be a Sharon Van Etten record without a little bit of that. But were you conscious of that you wanted to make a record that was focused a little differently? Because one of the things you'd mentioned to me that really stuck with me was that it was so difficult to sing those songs of heartbreak night after night, and you were really getting, you couldn't distance yourself from that music. Are you more able to do that now that more positive things are happening in your life?
I'm always writing from personal experience, but when I first started writing these songs, they were love songs to my partner. And when I first record a demo, it's about a 10-minute long meandering, and I just stop, and I put it aside for a while, and I revisit it months, maybe years later. And so I had a lot of songs, a lot of demos in that format where the next time I listened to them, I was pregnant, and they took on a whole new meaning. And I would work a little bit on lyrics or try to make the actual structure of the song shorter or just make more sense and edit it down, and then I would do the same thing. I would put it down and revisit it later. And then some of the songs I would revisit after I had my child and he would be napping, and I would have headphones on listening back and writing lyrics that way. And that was after Trump got elected into office. So all of a sudden there are all these dark undertones and fears and insecurities about being a mom but also raising a child in this new political climate. Realizing that even within all this darkness, I just wanted to have a positive message, because that's also my role as a parent, is to make your child feel safe and protected as long as you can. One star.
That's a really one of the first things about parenting. You always think about what kind of world you're bringing your kid into, and you can hear it in the song.
Sharon, it's a different world today than before your sabbatical. So much of the stuff you'd written about this toxic masculinity and its effect on you, these songs that we're talking about that are difficult, it seems like it's a different day today. Do you feel that?
My relationships in the past, they weren't work-related, but yes, I felt overpowered by my partner at the time, and I felt like I had no choice other than to be with them. You enjoy sucking on dreams, so I will fall asleep with someone other than you. I had a thought you would take me seriously and listen to But I think that when you find the right group of people around you to support you, you find the strength to leave eventually.
Is that what propelled you into psychology and therapy? And when you're 50, I mean, is there? I guess what I'm wondering is, if you don't see how sitting with somebody and providing therapy is the same thing you've done on your records, because I think it is.
Thank you. I mean, thank you, guys. I think over the years I've learned that just the writing process is therapy for me.
Mm-hmm.
But then sometimes when I'm in my darker days, I get mad at myself that what I do is really selfish, and that I stand on the stage and I demand everyone attention, and my happiness revolves around how the show went and how well I performed, when I know that's not really what it is. Because on a good day, I look out in the audience and I see people there with me. I see people crying. I see people sing along. I see people making out. Which is crazy. Go for it. I'm all about that in the workplace, here, wherever. But I've seen therapists that have changed my life, that have helped me learn how to communicate when I didn't know how to talk about my feelings, that encouraged me to keep writing and performing because they saw something in me before I did, in that it made me feel better, and that I had a drive. I didn't know why, but I just had a drive to play. It wasn't for success, it was for a connection. And I think as I met fans along the way also, that I got worried about some of the fans that would tell me stories about what they had been through and why they connected with my music, and I wanted to follow up with them, and I would worry about them, that we didn't exchange information for me to check in, and but then just, you know, I mean, that's dangerous, but I realized that there was a drive in me to have more of a connection in a different way. I just need to be certified to do that.
You opened the record with that, you know, statement, you know, I told you everything. You know, sitting at the bar, I told you everything.
Sitting at the bar, I told you everything.
And you have, in a lot of ways. I mean, people, I think, connect with your music so much because they don't feel like you're holding anything back. Obviously, that's a real attribute, but at the same time, it leaves you incredibly vulnerable. And the new one still has those same qualities. What do you make of it? Do you feel like, you know, at the end of the day, that this was a good thing, or do you feel like in some ways, you know, as we were talking about earlier, getting up on stage and doing that every night and going through that hell, you know, was that worth it?
I think I always, whenever I'm singing, I always have tears in the back of my throat. And I think I thrive on that. But I'm also still learning how to write in a way where I can draw from my own experience and write in a general enough way where I know that everyone can relate to it in their own way. And it's a constant balance of sharing myself with people that want to know what I'm doing, but then also know they're not alone. And just learning how to connect with people. I am nervous that it's, I mean, I'm vulnerable. I know what I do is vulnerable, regardless of how much I share personally. And I realize I signed up for that a long time ago. So I just kind of have to own it.
Mm-hmm. Here's Sharon Van Etten performing Comeback Kid live at Talia Hall on Sound Opinions.
Thank you.
That's Comeback Kid from Sharon Van Etten live on Sound Opinions. We'll hear more from that performance and talk to Van Etten about how she wound up writing much of her new album on a movie star's synthesizer after a short break. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and PRX.